I welcome you to our Bible class, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. I'm sure you're very familiar with this. It's probably the best known chapter in this epistle. It really begins with the 31st verse of the preceding chapter, where he tells us that we should covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is the way of love. Now, in the King James Version, it's the word charity. And originally, charity meant love. However, charity has come to mean giving your cast-off clothing to poor people or something of that kind. And this is a very poor substitute for genuine love. So I shall read this chapter with the word love instead of charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now this is the preacher, the man who preaches, the man who seems to have ability with words, the man who can speak fluently. If he does so without love, is nothing more than a noisemaker. Verse 2 says, And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And this man, of course, is the prophet, the wise man. He has a great deal of ability because he has a great deal of knowledge. In fact, he has a great deal of faith with it, so much that he might even remove mountains. But without love, just a zero. Absolutely nothing. God is not impressed with activity. God is not concerned with ability. God wants to see a reflection of his own character in his children. Now let me just pause here to say that God is love. As to his character, that doesn't mean that all love is God, but it means that this is God's attitude. In fact, we have a different word for love when it refers to God's kind of love. It means a love that is not looking for reciprocal attention. It means a love that loves because it is love, and not because its object is lovely. The word for human love is a word that means mere fondness, and we are fond of people, usually because they're fond of us or because they have some lovable characteristics, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did God love the world? Because it was lovely? Why, it's filled with sin and with terrible things. But God loves us because this is his character. He is a pitiful God. He loves with a pity. Now, verse 3 says, Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Here is the philanthropist. Here is the martyr. Here is the person who does a great many kind things, but he doesn't do them for the proper motive. God does not take people to heaven for the good things which they do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, Titus 3:5 tells us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says. So you see, it isn't the good things which we do. God is interested in what is in the heart. Now you have the characteristics of love given in verses 4 to 7. I sometimes read these and just think how much the Lord Jesus was like this. You could read his name in place of the word for love, because God is love, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. This is the way he is. This is the way he lived while he was here. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Someone has made a list of the things the words that would mark out these characteristics. Love is patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, controlled temper, guilelessness, sincerity, dependability, confidence, hopefulness, and endurance. Isn't this the way our Lord Jesus lived? These are the characteristics of God. Now, let me tell you that if you're not a believer, if you have never received Christ as your Savior, you will be making a terrible mistake if you try to do these things in your own strength. If you try to be like this in hopes that you might become a Christian, if you say, well, I'm going to try my best now to live this way. But you see, these things are said to be the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and this is impossible for the unbeliever. You can't possibly live like this unless the Spirit of God enables you to do so. Then he goes on to say that many things are going to fail, but love will never fail. Verse 8 says, love never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now, all of these things were temporary. In the early church, God gave prophets. Why? Because there was no Bible. And when God wanted to speak, he had to speak through the prophets. Now, we have no need for this today because we have a complete Bible. In the beginning of the church, there were tongues. God said they would cease. They have ceased. Why? Because they were temporary, because they were given for a special purpose until that which is perfect has come, until the Word of God is given in its completeness. And the partial knowledge that they had then is no longer, because now we have the complete knowledge of the whole Word of God. And don't let anyone tell you that you need another book beside the Bible. God didn't put a padlock on his Bible. He gave it to us to be understood. Just read your Bible, and God will teach you what you need to know. And don't think for a minute that God has given some new book which has equal value with the Bible. It just isn't true. That which is perfect is come. Verse 10 says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, the perfect thing here refers to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul said that he was chosen to complete the Word of God, to give us the complete revelation of himself. So all of these things have been superseded by the full revelation of God's Word. Now, in verses 10 to 12, he refers to the childhood of the church. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, why does he say this? Well, simply because these Corinthians were acting childish. They were still in the childhood of the church when God intended them to grow up. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that we should not be carried about with every wind of doctrine, but that we should grow up into him. If you will study the Word of God, you will grow up beyond these childish occupations with sign gifts. You will find that the people who put the emphasis on the sign gifts have no deep teaching and no real teachers among them. They live on coffee and aspirins, spiritually speaking. When God wants us to enjoy the full teaching of his word, he develops this further in the 14th chapter. Now, he tells us in the 12th verse that we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. How do we get to know fully? Well, we get to know it through the Word of God, because in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that the gifts are given that we may be built up, that we might all come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And if you want to be a full-grown, mature Christian, you will accomplish this by the study of God's Word. Now, remember again that if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you have not even started. You don't have life, And that life, of course, cannot be developed. But when you receive Christ, you receive life, and then the Holy Spirit begins to teach you through the Word, and you begin to develop, and you go on to become a mature Christian. In the letter to the Hebrews, he tells them in chapter 5 that they ought to be grown up, but he said, you're not teachers, you're not able to teach others, because you have not yet gotten to where you can take the strong meat of the Word of God, but you're like unskillful babes who just drink milk. Now, in 1 Peter 2, he tells us that as newborn babes, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. But after you have accepted Christ, you ought to grow up and go on to be able to understand the deeper things of God, and you can only do this as you study His Word. Now, the closing verse of this chapter says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love." These three. These are the three important things in the life of a Christian. Faith, because you can't become a child of God apart from faith. Hope, because God wants you to be expectantly waiting for what's ahead. And love, because this is the way of life for a believer. A loving life. The greatest of these is love, because God Himself is love, and we become like our Heavenly Father as we become more loving in our contacts and care for each other.